You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not a hard book to find. Just go to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and you'll find where we're looking tonight. Ecclesiastes, and let's get our Bibles open if we can. Be ready to study the Word of God together. We've been studying for 12 weeks, words to live by. Words like kindness, forgiveness. Those were words that words like faith, words like waiting, learn to wait on God, patience. And so we spent 12 weeks. I will not spend 12 weeks on this study, but these are words to avoid. There are many words in the Bible that we should avoid, and I won't take much of the time. I'll take some time in the month of May with this. We've got college graduation in there. And in June, we'll begin with Brother Fanera teaching for 6 weeks on the book of Jude. And I'm looking for, I'll be here all those services. But we're looking forward to a great summer together. And many of our pastors will be preaching as well. Words to live by. I'm going to have prayer, but let's read together Ecclesiastes 1:1-2. Let's read it together. Remain seated. Ecclesiastes 1:1-2. Ready? Begin. The words of the preacher,
the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
I bet you can't guess what the word is tonight, can you? Verse 2, you see a word there? The word vanity. God says vanity. What is vanity? Vanity is emptiness. There's no value to it. God's word, as he writes us this book, he writes all the things that are empty. We think that's going to bring success, that's going to bring joy, that's going to be happiness, but it never does. It's all vanity. And tonight I want to look at that subject. Go to chapter 2 and we'll have a word of prayer. Our Father, I thank you so much for the people here. Lord, we're so blessed to have such an incredible Spanish ministry. And I thank you for these dear people. God, I pray your blessing upon all the church tonight. Thank you for the Brazilians here. I thank you, God, for the Indians. I thank you for the Filipinos. I thank you for the cultures, the Chinese. And I thank you for the Americans that are here. I pray your blessing upon this time as we study your word together. Lord, there's so many things that bring emptiness. It's just like a vapor. And I pray that we would recognize how empty so much of this world is. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's the fifth word. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Not speaking about that, but let's sing it. Carry not my Lord was crucified. Vanity is found in these 12 chapters. It's only 12 chapters, the book, 38 times. And the wise man writes, he says, it's all emptiness. It's all like a vapor. It's here and it's gone away. Look at chapter 2. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with myrrh and enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is what? Vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And myrrh, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees to them, all the kinds of fruit. I made pools of water to water therewith, and the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. I had great possession of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, a particular treasure of the kings and of the provinces. I got me singers, women singers, and delight the sons of men, musical instruments and all the sorts. I was great. I increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. So my wisdom remained within me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, and my heart rejoiced in all the labor. This was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought. He's referring back to the pools and the orchards and the water and the gardens and the trees and the silver and the gold and the music and the instruments. I had more than anybody. I looked on the works of my hands that I wrought, and my labor that I had labored to do. Behold, it was all what? Say it together. Behold, it was all vexation of the spirit, and there is no profit under the sun. In chapter 2, I want you to write down the first thing that I see about vanity, and we've already seen many, but I want you to see there's a hatred for life. Chapter 2, verse 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Therefore, I just hated it. I talked to a dear man at our church tonight. He goes, Pastor, I need you to talk to a former co-worker of mine, and we'll get together. He says he wants to commit suicide. Before I removed these apps off my phone, I told the teenagers today, I looked at the notable deaths January 1st to about a week or two ago when they removed all this off my phone, and I saw that there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of well-known people worldwide that had died. And it's an amazing thing how many died and it said suicide. There were wealthy people, there were intelligent people, there were people that had great leadership, great possessions, died by suicide, died by suicide, died by suicide, died by suicide, one right after nothing. And that's what the preacher says here. I hated life. I had orchards. I had vineyards. I had people. I had singers. I had music. I had silver. I had gold. I had everything, anybody, ever, nothing. I held nothing back from my eyes. If I wanted, I got it. And I hated life. Things do not produce happiness. Money does not produce happiness. Possessions do not produce happiness. Child of God, serving God. You just played it, Brother Galvan. There's joy. What did you play? Joy in serving Jesus? There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart every moment, every hour as I draw upon His power. There is joy, joy. There's joy in serving God. There's joy on the bus route. There's joy in the Sunday school class. I had the college students there. Most of them working tonight. A few of them are in here. But I had them stand in the four ministries they're working in. And I could have had more testimonies. But I had those that were in our 15 rest homes. We have 16, 17 rest homes, but about 15 they're responsible for. And they just stood immediately. I'm so grateful. I led this one to Christ. And we've had 23 in our rest homes saved this year. And they're all excited about their rest home ministries. And the crowd of kids go to those rest homes on Sunday. And then I said, okay, if you're in the church planting business, and they stood up and said, I'm in Tracy, or I'm in East Palo Alto. And they were excited about it. Then the Sunday school teachers and the preachers stood up and testified, and then the bus workers testified. You know, we had a C bus kid 2 weeks ago. I think 11-year-old and a 13-year-old. Their dad on Saturday killed their mother. He's in prison today. Those kids went to grandma and grandpa. Hey, we must reach kids. There is joy in reaching children with the gospel. 1.6 million people have been reached through this church with the buses. And every Sunday they come and they say, "Brother, Pastor, I used to come 30 years ago on the bus. I came 35. I came 20 years ago. Now I'm back to church because I've got kids. My kids need this church." Every week of our life that happens. There's no joy in life outside of Christ. I hated life. The second thing I want you to see in chapter 2, verse 17, I hated life because the work that I wrought under the sun was grievous to me. He said, vanity creates emptiness. It just was empty. There was everything I did, it meant nothing. Why? Because he was doing it for himself. He was not doing it for anybody else. Look all around you. Find somebody in need. Help somebody today. We used to just hear it said all the time, you cannot knock on the wrong door. Brother Fanero, that's more true. You know it. You've been out so much. That's more true today than ever. And Brother Romero, behind every door, there's a sorrow. I asked some of our bus captains, I asked some of the C bus captains, I said, how many of those kids do you think don't have a dad in the home? They said, at least 75%, if not more. No dad. Brother Reamers, you shake your head. Can you imagine not having a dad in your life? And I know some of you did not have a father in your home, and that hurts me. But it doesn't mean you can't be a good dad. Give yourself to your kids. Keep your kids in Sunday school. Keep them on Wednesday night. When you're tired, keep them on Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know how you get, but I get so tired on Wednesday. I go to elementary chapel, then high school chapel, then college chapel, and then a class. And by 1 o'clock, I eat a bite to eat, and I'm very tired. I'm just tired. I just get tired. Everybody gets tired. And I think, Lord, I pray often, I don't know how I'm going to make it to church tonight. I am so tired. But guess what? I come, and I'm always so glad I'm here. And I start to wake up, and before long, I'm preaching 2 hours and 35 minutes. Well, maybe not that long. I love church. I heard you sing tonight. Brother Martinez had you singing, and I just was joy. Those boys, those young boys, all born here, all singing tonight. Eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, just wonderful boys. The gang girls singing. Brother Rubio, wherever you went, I saw you somewhere. You did such a good job, great job. I need to work with you on a few things, but I don't need to work with you about anything. But God says, it's just empty. Life is only fulfilled when you live for a purpose. Life requires that you live for a purpose. That's what I love about, we were talking, Brother Martinez and I, about our retired people. I think there's 58 or 68, I can't remember how, but you're all retired. I said on the radio this morning, I don't know one retired person that's a grump in our church, not one. And if you are, I'm gonna take your picture and put it in the lobby. I don't know of one grumpy person, not one. I was saying on the radio, that went worldwide, every state, every nation of the world this morning. I don't know of one grumpy person, not one older person in this church that's a grump. All these kids around here, they're all running, all these kids. I don't know of that. Because I believe that Brother Martinez started the prime timers, and yes, you go on excursions, but you're all doing something in the ministry. Your lives all count for something. You're answering the phones every day. You're working in food services every day. And you don't have to work. You can work once a month or twice a month or once every week. But they're working in the food services and they're answering the phones. And they're working on mechanicking the buses. And they're working on the ministry. And they're working in the checking the fire hydrants and the fire, whatever you call them, a deal. They do all of it. And we don't have to pay them. Praise God for that. Look at the third one. Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor. Vanity creates hatred of work. That's what socialism is, Brother Flood. Socialism. And we had elections yesterday, and the socialists, they say, I'm a socialist. And they won almost everything. Over half of this country is socialist. I tell you what, we're in for a bloodbath. Maybe at midterms, I'm not sure, but certainly by 2028, we're in for a bloodbath. Amen. This thing is waxing so worse and worse. The only hope, we had the Great Awakening in the 1760s, we had the Great Awakening in the 1840s, and we need the third Great Awakening. There needs to be awakening for God. Amen. Where God speaks to the hearts on Sunday morning and revival breaks out at the house of God. And you know, most revivals, hey, we're primed because most revivals began as a result of teenagers and teenagers that sang. Most revivals started as a spark of revival with teenagers, 19 years of age and younger. I wonder what God wants to do. They said, I hate work. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, an electrician, a plumber, a builder, and you can get up in the morning and love it if it's your side job. Because your first job is to be a Christian. And you could get real fulfillment building a house, working in an electrical department, all that. Dennis that worked here at this church, he got so fulfilled by serving God in this church. And I can remember having coffee with him and talking to him after he got saved and worked in this building so very much, and he loved it. Hey, I want to say that today, that work creates, vanity is creates hate, hatred of work. Chapter 5, look at verse 10 with this, goes on with this. Let's see what it says. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance of increase, this also is vanity. You cannot get success out of chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore, I went about with my heart to despair all the labor which I took under the sun. Vanity creates despair. Brother Treber, I'm depressed. I need some medicine. Brother Raymond, I was listening the other night on the television, and I was listening to all these medical, you know, commercials. There are 10,000 of them. And they're all about medicine. And they say, are you suicidal? And then they told the drug you need it. And then they gave all the list of the things that it may cause. The first thing that the suicide drug places in your mind is suicidal thoughts. Why would you take it? Heart attacks, strokes, blood clots. And they went on, they had 15 things. Why would you take that junk? Hey, you don't have to be depressed in life. Look what the Bible says. We're almost done. Let's keep going. How about chapter 2, verse number 23? He creates sorrow. For all his days are sorrows and travail, grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. It's just vanity. Alexander the Great was a young man. He conquered all the world. Alexander the Great was nearing his deathbed, and he said, I want you to bury me in a casket, and I want you to leave my hands outside the casket and leave it open. He had conquered the world. All the world was at his disposal. He had wealth. He had position. He had praise of man. And they said, why do you want your hands outside your casket? Because he says, I'm leaving everything here. They're empty. I can't take anything with me. So often we're working for that which is vanity, that which will not endure, that which will not last. A famous writer committed suicide age 62. And he wrote these, what does man care about? Staying healthy, eating and drinking with friends, enjoying himself. And then he wrote, I don't have any of these things. And he committed suicide. John D. Rockefeller, at age 33 was a millionaire, born at the turn of the century. At 43, he controlled the largest U.S. company in the world. At 53, he was the only one that was known as a billionaire in the world, one man. But at age 53, his eyebrows began falling off, his eyelashes fell off, his hair fell off, everything in life. And it was under such pressure. And he was seeing doctors. He had nothing wrong with him, but he was just full of anxiety. A billionaire, full of anxiety. He was making, his payroll was $1 million a week. Back in the 1920s, $1 million a week. How do you spend $1 million a week just on yourself? He was so miserable. A doctor sat down with him, very wise doctor, and he said, you know, his friend, he said, John D., I want you to know this, John D. Rockefeller. He said, I don't think you'll ever be happy. You've conquered finances, you've conquered the world, you've conquered all these businesses, you're a success in life. But he said, I think that what you have to do, I want you to listen very carefully, he said, John D., I think what you have to do. John D. began to listen very carefully. He said, I think you're going to have to give away all your money. And you can read of John D. Rockefeller. He went to hospitals and he began to give huge amounts of money to all hospitals in America. And he went to churches. And every church he went, he built great cathedrals and just paid for them. He bought the land for the property that they would use. He just spent money on churches. And you know, lo and behold, as he began to dwindle his fortune, his hair began to grow. His eyelashes began to grow. His eyebrows began to grow. And he had such joy in his heart, but he learned that all of that is vanity. And all of that will corrupt. Go with me, if you will, to the last book of the Bible, last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And I see we're out of time already. Verse 12 says, 12:12. Let's read 12:12 and 12:13. 12:13 and 12:14, where it says, let us hear. Ready? Begin. Let us hear. In 1923, and I always remembered, I tried to study 23 because that was the year my dad was born, 103 years ago. In 1923, they gathered together the richest men in the world in Chicago. They met at the Edgewater Beach Hotel. These were the richest tycoons in all the world. They had more wealth than the United States Treasury had. They were wealthy. Let me read you some of the things that took place 27 years later. Charles Schwab, the president of the largest independent steel company, lived on borrowed money And his last 5 years, he was penniless. He had nothing left. Arthur Cutton, the greatest wheat speculator, died abroad insolvent, no money. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, was released from Sing Sing prison to go home and die. Albert Fall, the member of the president's cabinet, was pardoned from his prison so he could go home and die. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear on Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of Bank and National Settlement, committed suicide. And lastly, Ivar Kruger, the head of the world's greatest monopoly, committed suicide. What are you chasing tonight? Is it vanity? I'm not suggesting you cannot get a new car. I'm not suggesting you cannot own a home in time. I'm not suggesting you can't have a big paycheck. I'm not suggesting you cannot have a retirement account. I am suggesting that you invest in something that's eternal. Amen. And something that will last for eternity. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Father, tonight I'm so very thankful for these words that we can live by, but I'm also grateful tonight for words that we should avoid. Lord, we need to avoid vanity, just vanity. I thank you for such a great church, people that have such a heart for thee and have sacrificed so very much and they've invested so much, and a happy people, a great people. God, help us to live not for fleshly, worldly things that we think is going to bring us happiness.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.